All right, shut up. What's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast coming at you, not live from the Frog Quarters in San Francisco. We got the old school crew in the Frog Quarters this week, and that means the grumpiest man in podcasting.
Hooray!
It's Brett! Yay!
Hooray!
And we got future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan.
FanDuel.com.
He still loves FanDuel.
I mean, my daily fantasy addiction has no allegiances.
You're going to have to pry that mouse from him with breath.
Tongs.
Cold, dead tongs.
With the golden cats.
Yes, that's true. Anyway, we
might
got a lot
might
of...
add right here that, Brett, you're looking especially sallow and corpse-like today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been staring into light for the last 3 years.
You look like maybe a 19th century farmer being driven mad.
Mm-hmm.
By
no. I say coal miner. He's down in there.
Okay.
No light.
Okay.
But it's not quite grizzled enough, though.
Yeah, like you lost your Gussie in the cold of ought six, and you're driven mad by the memory of her. For you hear her trotting neath your floorboards.
So you're saying he's an Edgar Allan Poe protagonist?
Yeah, there's something Poe-esque about it. Yeah,
been working on the eye bags. I've been looking on YouTube, figure out how to get those real puffy and dark.
Filling them up with your pitchfork.
Yeah, turns out you just gotta give up and then never blink.
With your pitchfork, now owned by Condé Nast.
Oh,
which.
I
that's
get it.
That's some good shit.
Oh, man. That's first bit of hashtag
that's
content.
Brands.
Good shit.
Well, brands. You know, we got a lot of other stuff to talk about. We were going to talk about Playboy a little bit. We're going to talk about Steve Jobs a little bit. I got some real sports clips. You know, there's a debate tonight or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lee Keeler is going to come on a little later. He's got a book coming out. He's a comedy dude, puts together the shows that I'm on in LA, and he's got a book coming out, and we're going to talk to him about it, and that's going to be cool. But
Justin Bieber's dick.
Justin Bieber's dick.
Yeah.
Sponsored by FanDuel.
Yeah.
Do you have an opinion? I mean, do you have a hot take on Justin Bieber's dick? We should say it a few more times just for the SEO value.
Justin Bieber's dick.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who's listening now?
I don't know. I didn't see his dick. I should probably look it up.
I did. I Googled Justin Bieber's dick on my computer. Like, while I was sitting there, I heard people were looking at Justin Bieber's dick. I was like eating some food or something. I was like, I want to see Justin Bieber's dick.
Did you see
dick.
The FanDuel ads that came up
on the shaft?
Yeah. No, like in the search results.
Oh, yeah.
Banner ads on your dick.
Promo code Justin Bieber's dick.
No, I only know about it because his dad tweeted about his dick in like the way that only a celebrity parent could, where he's like, hey, nice dick, son.
No, yeah. He's like, what do you feed that thing?
Yeah, which is, yeah.
Well, you basically said nice dick.
Yeah, nice dick, son.
Oh, I just got a picture of
nice
somebody photoshopped
dick, son.
A dick into his microphone.
Do you think that celebrity parents...
Not the dick you wanted to see.
Do you think...
No, that's not
ew, gross.
Dick.
Not the dick I specifically searched Google for.
Do you think that celebrity parents, if found in a Freaky Friday situation, would murder their old body containing their child's soul so that they could live in their new vessel?
Say that again?
So celebrity parents... always have this creepy reverse Oedipal thing with their kids where they're like, oh, I just want to crawl inside you. And why is that impressive?
I don't know. It's just a dick.
Yeah. It's like a regular
old...
Well,
yeah, it says you.
Regular old
for the listeners, Brett has a humongous penis. For anybody who doesn't know.
Don't you think his dad wants to kill, eat, and fuck him?
He wants to marry, fuck, and kill.
Yeah.
And right, then marry, fuck, kill. Justin Bieber, Justin Bieber, and your son, Justin Bieber.
There's same with Miley Cyrus's father, whatever his name is.
Billy Ray.
Miley Sr.
Reginald Cyrus.
Reginald Miley, the boy one.
Billy Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people forget that
she
came out of the loins of a novelty country song.
Yeah, people forget that.
He's super... A lot of people forget that. Exactly.
He's super creepy about it. They're all super creepy.
Well, I think you're thinking of Joe Simpson when he's talking about, oh, yeah,
She's got those double D's. You can't hide those puppies.
They all do it.
Yeah, I know.
It's universal. They
well,
want...
Doesn't there have to be a weird like sexualization happening if you're going to put them in yes. the public eye?
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, everyone else is going to want to fuck you too.
You're half me. That means they'll half want to fuck me, the old one. Gross.
He's that's like not... tiptoeing around too. Like it's, yeah, it's weird.
Maybe there's glass
you're
on the floor.
You're going to want to tickle my landing strip.
I just feel like Joe Simpson has a landing strip.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
I think it's in the shape of one of those crosses with the little like the rays coming out the side. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, yeah. like the cool hip Christian bumper sticker crosses.
Like the affliction crosses.
Like a sick sword with a bunch of roses on it and a naked lady.
I mean, that's a little complicated, but he's got money now. He can pay someone to do that.
No, I just think it's a straight landing strip. He keeps it simple. But it's definitely orange because he's artificial tans a lot, and then he's got his big white Karabusi choppers.
I thought of the texture of orange spray tan and old man pube.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. It's like in my mouth.
Yeah. Like what happens if you get the orange spray?
I really know how
pube.
To paint a picture, don't I?
Yeah. Oh.
Should have sent a poet.
Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, someone's trying to sell me Easy Needles cartridge. Do you ever get those emails where it's just like people trying to sell you some random thing, but it makes you...
I think that's every single email I get.
Well, yeah, that's true. But then there's like, it's like, hey, this is Shelley from Easy Tattoo Supply.
Sick.
Glad to hear you are in the tattoo market.
Yeah.
Are you still use the normal tips?
I do, but I don't want to.
Many artists have already choose the needles cartridge now.
Can I choose the as well?
Needles cartridge is easy to use, cheap price, and high quality.
Sweet.
Easy cartridge is the good for you to choose.
Yeah. That's a weird algorithm that spit that one out.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, you know who's easily suckered is tattoo artists looking for new needles.
Are they wrong, though?
Don't you just have a bunch of... Isn't that your job? Don't you already have...
Always, you need new ones.
Yeah.
Can't you reuse them? Gotta always be buying.
That's true.
ABB.
Yeah.
ABBN.
Yeah.
Always be buying needles.
B2B.
Oh, I forgot. We're going to do the Todd Maffin update also.
Love Todd.
Do we have enough time to discuss Todd Maffin? Yeah, I guess we do. So, Todd Maffin update.
Fucking love Todd.
Still don't know if he's a real person or not. Just put that out there. But so I still don't know he's a real person. But he's got a pinned tweet, and it's been up there for like over a month, and it's about Todd Maffin's digital marketing this week. And I noticed that it had one fave. So I clicked on it to see who the fave was. Oh shit, I accidentally faved it.
Your phone's ringing. It's Todd.
No.
Hey, buddy, you need some new tattoo needles?
I also have a couple of Tommy Bahama shirts I think you'd really like. So I clicked the favorite to see who it was. And the one person that who had faved this tweet that's been up for over a month is Ferg Devins, which is another beautiful Tim and Eric name. And he is chief conversationalist at the devinsnetwork.ca. At Devins Network, opportunities/possibilities about me/Ferg Devins. Photo Tom Thompson edit.
Oh, Chunce Wimberly and Grib Nip Nip Nib.
He looks like a bot too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because someone just like Googled office party and then like, took the first result.
I love these robots.
Do you really think he's a robot?
I kind of think
or
he's...
Or does he just not know he's a robot?
Yeah, I'm thinking cyborg at this point where he's like half man, half machine. Mm-hmm. And we just don't know which part is which. Like there's probably a physical portion somewhere.
The dick part.
Yeah, probably just like the dick part.
The dick part.
Just hanging from... like closer with the pig on the turntable.
Mm-hmm.
that would be good, kind of like when we did the corn thing.
Just try and do closer.
Dab, dab, da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da
That's the only two parts, isn't it?
Yeah. No, but you have to do the part too.
Yeah, do that, huh? I wanted to do the. That was the part I like.
Blue.
Brendan gave me his spookiest look as he finished that. It was like mournful spooky.
Did that change your life? Did you discover meaning like when you saw the closer video for the first
kind
time?
Kind of, yeah. I wish I weren't like, a fucking walking cliche, but
I feel like that was must have been.
It was right around like
that was your Kennedy landing. Kennedy assassination landing. Rather.
Yeah. Or like most of us, we saw Phoebe Cates come out of the pool and we had like a sexual awakening. And then like Brett never had that. He just had like a weird.
Just the heart thumping.
Yeah.
He saw the pig on the turntable, had his first orgasm, didn't know what it was.
Existential awakening.
He stared into the void the first time that day.
Yeah.
It was black.
Yeah. There was this cute girl that really liked Nine Inch Nails. So I'm like, maybe I'll check that band out.
5 minutes, and then you get another robot voice comes on and tells you how important your call is. He's talking about robots.
He's
in deep
cover.
And then the CSR, the customer service rep, comes back. What is Todd Maffin? First thing they ask you, your phone number.
Don't you hate robots?
What's wrong with us today? Here is the problem.
Fellow humans, don't you hate it when the robots are all muscling in on your human food, like your ice milk?
I forgot to read the titles of his books, which are also pretty amazing. Touch, 5 factors to growing and leading a human organization.
Those got to be a number.
Doesn't it seem like a robot, like a guidebook for other robots? Like, here is the cue to human.
Mouth pressing, the love of human.
In touch... Mark Blevins and Todd Maffin. You love their names, don't you?
It's some like Harry Potter Pynchon shit where it's just like Grimbletog Fugleball.
It really is Harry Pynchon. In touch, Mark Blevins and Todd Maffin argue that even
Mark Blevins or Mark Blevins?
Blevins.
That's even better.
That's so good.
Mark Blevins. I thought like Blevins. I'm like, that's pretty good, but like Blevins really takes the next level.
Barnsworth float puddle.
Sorry, let me finish that blurb. In touch, Mark Blevins and Todd Maffin argue that even though technology has enabled us to connect like never before, we've actually moved in the opposite direction. We have removed the real and human connections. It's time to bring that human touch back to business. This book lays out the perfect blueprint. Want to be more human? Start with touch. Wait for it.
The signs are all there.
Wait for it. Mitch Joel, author, Control Alt Delete.
I would read. You paused. You had a dramatic pause there for a second, Vince, on the book I would actually read, which is Todd Maffin and Mark Blevins argue. I would read that book.
Right. Oh, yeah, because like the spam bots trying to go up against each other.
Do you want to have a buddy?
Do you want to have a buddy?
There's the inflection all wrong. Yeah. There's very little on this earth I enjoy more than the inflection being all wrong in a conversation.
Oh, he's got his speech or his speaking introduction on his website.
Yeah.
So in case you forget, what do I do? First of all, note, Maffin is pronounced Maffin, not Maffin.
All right.
Our speaker this morning is one of North America's leading experts in digital and viral marketing. Todd Maffin is the president of EngageQ Digital, and he speaks at more than 40 conferences around the world each year. You may recognize his voice from the CBC Radio, where he was the network's national technology reporter for many years and host of his own show on CBC Radio 1.
Yeah, if you live in Canada.
And he was one of the internet's first webmasters, creating a site ranked 8th best in the world, beating out such heavyweights as Sony, Microsoft, and AT&T. And you know what? He's got a joke to go with that.
Sweet.
All of his videos start out the same way. Here he is in Toronto.
I have a confession to make there. The 8th best website in the world award that you heard, that is true. I won that in 1998.
Pause for laughter. He drank a coffee like while he was pausing for laughter, which is like that's
pro move.
That's classic comedy move right there.
Yeah.
We're in fact only 9 websites in the world, so reasonably easy target to hit. This is the first time I've seen my book this morning.
Last guy.
Like
we
Yeah. It was the 9.
I don't know. I feel
you
bad.
You know who it was?
What?
Mark Blevis.
Oh, fuck.
I was trying to say it, but I couldn't remember the name.
Mark Blevis and Ferd Devins take us on a wild ride through the jungles of South America in Touch.
I would
a guide to South American tribes from two of the leading viral marketing experts in Canada.
I would 100% read a like a Harlequin romance novel written by these robots,
mm-hmm.
and just what they think the human
one human put desire. His mouth on the other human.
What this lost tribe whose rainforest I burnt down taught me about marketing.
You know, they have their own types of content. You know, it just goes to show, it starts with content. No
it's
matter
true.
What, no matter how much, you know, what tribe you're in.
Yeah. You know what I've heard?
They didn't hey, have human contact.
Hey,
but they
the
got
woven
content.
Straw hut was the first hashtag.
A lot going
that's,
on there.
That's yeah. deep, that's man. Right.
That's how I roll.
What were you
going
to say?
I was going to say everything is going content.
Everything is going content.
Yeah.
Everything is going
everything
content.
Everything is I appreciate that they're doing the like the reverse 1984, where instead of limiting language so that you can't form coherent thoughts, they just devalue all the words,
yeah,
so that you hear
language.
You hear it, and it washes over you like just a calming wave of mm-hmm.
Of nonsense.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
I like just having things
like,
shouted
ooh,
at me and not
sounds...
have to worry about whether or not they're actually constructed. To form thoughts.
It's like the opposite of a call to action.
Yeah.
It's like it's a call to lethargy.
Yeah. Mellow out, man. Here's some words.
Call to inaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I guess that's a better antonym.
It's not really a call either. It's more of a gentle, it's a whisper.
It's a...
Or like a phone
it's a
on
drone,
vibrate.
It's a drone to inaction.
Yeah. It's a drone, drone to inaction.
It's a friendly reminder.
Well, Lee Keeler, I was supposed to get him on at 8. It's 8 now.
Holy shit. That is
where
the time you said earlier.
I'm going to call him right now. See if it works.
What if he had like an old school like with music on the outgoing message and like, hey, remember like when people used to do that?
Oh, shit. I wonder if I could get Smash Mouth instead of a ring.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Is this Lee Keeler?
This is Lee Keeler. Is this Vince Mancini?
Hell yeah. You're on the Frotcast.
Oh, shit. What's going on?
Are you on the toilet?
No, I'm in the backyard. I'm having a cigarette.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, Lee, you run some shows down in L.A. You nicely put me on your show every year, at least once in L.A.
You nicely come down. You do an amazing job.
I was trying to think of a better adverb there than nicely. I think it was like...
Nay.
You... fuck, I don't know. I'm bad at words now.
Because
of nicely. We'll take it to guys and dolls.
How do you put that? Like, you get like huge guests every time. I mean, there's been you had Kumail Nanjiani. You had
Paul Scheer on last year. Yeah,
Greg Fitzsimmons. I had a bunch of really good comedians that are way better than me.
Well, I don't know about all. Yeah, they are better than you.
do you polish a lot of bathrooms? What do you do? How do you get that? A lot of task rabbits?
Yeah, it's a lot of, it's a lot of just getting on your knees. And just you always got to have a couple of rubber gloves and like a tube of Vaseline
mm-hmm.
and some Q-tips help. That's an industry secret, you know, for the nooks and crannies.
Of course.
But yeah, it's been a good show. It's been a solid show that we've been building at the Improv for like the last four and a half years now. And the club really supports us, and yeah, we just try to make sure everybody has a good time. So that kind of helps.
You know, sure.
We just try to book the shit out of it.
We're
and the
all about
show
having...
usually sells out every year.
Yeah.
It's kind of
well, you know what? We're all about having a good time, but also about the fans. Like we just want, I mean, we do it all for our fans. Without them. we wouldn't be here.
No, we'd be somewhere else.
We'd be somewhere else.
Maybe that place would be less good.
Yeah, probably be less good. So the book, Sad Bastard.
Yeah.
It's coming out November 20th.
Word.
Tell us, why don't you tell us a little about it? I'm looking at the cover picture, and it's got a picture of you.
Yeah. It's basically a lifestyle magazine for the shitty modern male.
Okay.
For any dude that has not hit rock bottom, but just settled on like a weird part of the rocks,
mm-hmm.
Where that, you know, they're not comfortable, but you know, you could exist. And that was another title I had for this thing, was just called The Exister. And it's just about how to survive and still be the shittiest, not the shittiest dude, but just to be accepting and embracing the shitty, usually bachelor dude.
Well, like, I mean, most men's magazines, they're aspirational. You know, you got a lot of like $500 shoes and mm-hmm. tips, like books to read. Is this more?
Yeah.
This is more just taking the modern man as he is.
Well, this, yeah. And what's cool is that we, you know, we set our aspirations a bit more realistically. Like, we've got different sections, like lifestyle and travel and cooking in this. But it's just a little, like, I don't know. We're taking it to a new place where, you know, for cooking, if you want to make something like 3 pizza roll salad, we've got that shit. Like, we've got you covered.
Have you tested that out? Is it good?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a live show at the Comedy Central stage where we had Josh Androsky come out and cook that, and it was delicious. It was delightful. The secret to 3 pizza roll salad is the shredded cheese that you add on top.
Well, I find if you cut the pizza rolls on the bias, it makes it look fancier.
Is it 3 different kinds of pizza rolls?
You can what?
Is it 3 different kinds of pizza rolls?
Yeah, you have. If you don't have 3 different kinds, it won't work.
Mm.
Yeah, we usually like. Let's see. What are? Let me.
We call it try pizza rollo salad. That's
we don't actually.
I mean, you could. Fuck?
You could. Yeah, I mean, I guess
it's, you know, it's
it's words.
Italian. That.
Yeah,
one,
our preference is cheesy garlic, triple meat, and Parmesan garlic.
Mm.
Okay.
Which are two. The fact that cheesy garlic and Parmesan garlic are 2 different things. They just bring out that much more flavor and that much more sadness in your situation. Yeah, like just dealing with it. One of the best ways to... We also give instructions on how to like enjoy it, like which is like in the dark on the floor of your kitchen, just with your bare hands.
What about in my bathtub? Can I do that?
You can, but like... it has to be like old water.
Okay.
That's the weird thing. Like we tried it with like bath crystals, and like if you relax while you're doing this, it's too much.
Look, if I got bath crystals, I'm not going to be putting them in the bath water.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That comes before you cook all this shit. That's some different time of cooking, not me. Yeah. It's what are the other sections? We got travel, like go home for the holidays or go further away.
Yeah,
you know,
those are your 2 main options.
Yeah, you know, like just be as far from the people who care about you as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have to.
So would you say this is partly a response to the New York Times recent 27 Ways to Be a Modern Man? Do you think, I mean, is this partly a different take on that?
I wish I knew what you're talking about.
Well, I'll read you a couple.
Is that a magazine?
It's a newspaper. You buy it at the coffee shop or out of those little boxes next to where the cars go.
Yeah. Okay, I know what that is.
Yeah,
it's like USA Today, right? Like, is it colors?
You put the metal circles into that box, and then
I love those things.
Open the little toaster window. And then you take the words out.
I've been eating.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Let me read you a couple. So this is number one. It's called 27 Ways to Be a Modern Man from the New York Times. 1, when the modern man buys shoes for his spouse, he doesn't have to ask her sister for the size. and he knows which brand runs big or small.
What?
It's so true.
That's what they say?
Two, the modern man never lets other people know when his confidence has sunk. He acts as if everything is going swimmingly until it is.
This is as far as I read like three of them and had to stop. I was just like, what is this and why am I so mad?
I like how the New York Times publishes this and then goes like, oh, those Philistines over at BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
They also did the fucking peas and the guacamole too. They are down with the stupid outrage clickbait.
Three, the modern man is considerate. At the movie theater, he won't munch down a mouthful of popcorn during a quiet moment. He waits for some ruckus.
Is this like this is somebody's idea of jokes?
Who the fuck wrote this? Yeah, was this written by like
modern man be all like this?
This is like the most muted form of humor that it is. That's right. That's the punchline.
New York Times comedy jam.
No, but Brett, it's like jazz. It's more about the jokes he isn't making.
Yeah, see the my our version of that is that the modern man would go ahead and just find out which one of his spouse's shoes he can drink out of when she's going to announce that she's leaving him. Like, what's the best shoe to drink out of? Because you're not going to, the dishes are gone. She took them, or they're broken from fighting. And, you know, which one can hold the alcohol? And then you just drink out of that.
Yeah, have fun walking away from me with a stinky foot, you bitch.
Walk away going squish, squish, squish in my whiskey shoe.
Exactly.
Who's laughing
and
now?
Yeah, in terms of the waiting on the popcorn, I got to agree with that because in addition to that, we waited till everyone leaves the theater and then you roll out from underneath the seats and just eat popcorn as a meal, a sadness meal.
Just inching along under the seats, I guess.
Yeah, to go with your whiskey shoe cocktail.
Did you ever put...
I like this. There's 27 of those.
Do you ever put a couple little kernels of popcorn in the whiskey shoe? You know, like as if it was a highball, kind of like a martini.
It's
like
festive. It's a little...
Yeah. And then you get it stuck in your back molar so that you're just sitting on the couch in your underwear. It's
a fun little garnish.
To work it out with your tongue.
You use the heel of the shoe to get the kernel out.
Because what the fuck else are you going to do all day? I mean, you don't have a job.
Yeah. Meanwhile, your wife's staying with her sister and their family. And you know the kids are autistic, and that's going to be a, you know.
And you can't ask the sister about the shoe size, you know what I mean?
Right.
Exactly.
That's not what a modern man
does.
Not
just because you're trying to be a gentleman, but because you probably tried to set the sister up with your other friend who's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And she won't talk to you anymore.
But he found Jesus now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good old Pete.
Straight up JC in it. I think that's going to be the next issue. It's that we all have to do a Christian Bad Bastard.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you know, just so to cover all the markets. Even Elvis did Christian records. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, just the marketing. That's just good marketing. So is that the plan? You're doing more? I mean, this is going to be, is there going to be more than one quarterly? What are you doing with it?
I think we're gonna see if we do it as an annual. We got to see if this one flies or not. We've definitely got some more stuff in the pipeline. We're going to be doing another live show with it in LA, and the first one went really well. We had Rich Fulcher from the Mighty Boosh. He came out and was on it, and just cool comedians and stuff.
Yeah,
there won't be any shortage of material, I can tell you that. So I can't decide if we're going to like expand it into a bigger book later or if we'll just do an annual. It's definitely the healthiest thing I've ever written. You know what I mean?
Just
and letting my parents know the darkest places that I've ever gone to as a human being. And
this is the darkest place I've ever eaten a pizza roll.
Yeah. This is our son, the writer. Tell him about your book, son.
But what's cool is, like, there are options to it. I mean, within the book, we understand that you got to be able... Life is about variance and bouncing back. So we have, like, a health section, like, different workouts you can do.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one where you can just, like, scream at your cat. screaming at your cat until, you know, you lose weight.
Then the cat runs away, you'd have to run after him, and then that's just more calories burnt.
Yeah.
fucking yeah, thank you.
Speaking of
running, we've got one called Running from the Police. I told you we shouldn't have broken into this pool, man. And that one's great. You know what I mean? Because sometimes it's a Malt Liquor Monday. And sometimes, you know, you're just walking through the valley with, like, the roommates from art school. And you make a game out of who can piss gently on, you know, who can piss gently on a Bentley, pissing gently on a Bentley without setting off the alarm. Like, right. If you can piss the gentlest, then you're fine.
They have a notoriously itchy piss finger on those Bentleys, on the alarms. Yeah.
Itchy Piss Finger is such a good such a good album title. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
So I'm gonna go back to the Modern Man from New York Times real quick here.
Oh God!
Just for contrast,
our podcast is exclusively stuff we hate, and then us getting madder and madder about it until we get tired out and go home.
Yeah, that's another thing. That could be another workout, right?
Wait, what is it?
You read things that piss you off until you get madder and madder, and then you fall asleep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You just the rage. You're quaking with rage. Mm-hmm. And what's neat is that it's almost like one of those magic finger beds, okay. But you don't have to use the shiny round things. You know what I mean? Like no coin here. You just rage quake.
Uh-huh. No payment. No payment circles for daddy. He's getting angry tonight.
No president shiny circles today, bitch. Turn it my way.
Yeah. I want the shaky bit.
Oh, my God.
The Modern Man buys only regular colas like Coke or Dr. Pepper.
God damn it.
If you walk into his house looking for a Mountain Dew, he'll show you the door.
What?
Looking for a mouse?
A Mountain Dew.
Who is the target audience for this? Who's going to be like, I don't know, is a Mountain Dew...
I don't drink Mountain Dew, but I don't... Why would they just choose Mountain Dew?
Well, if you're drinking Coke and Dr. Pepper, who's the person who's like... I can't believe how gauche of that person drink Mountain Dew. I only drink Coke with extra sweet high fructose corn syrup.
Who the fuck?
This is Egyptian high fructose
corn syrup.
Is
there Mexican Mountain Dew? Does that exist? Is that a thing? It has to be.
I wouldn't tell the people who drink Mountain Dew that if there is.
You'd be in danger. Yeah. That's another sport, is telling Mountain Dew people that there's a cane sugar version.
Just really information. anything that's knowledge-based, sending it towards a Mountain Dew person is just probably going to end up with like a cinder block flung at you.
Mm-hmm. It's just like the Bible, man. You eat from the tree of knowledge, will beat your ass.
You know what this is? This is fucking sober humor. That's what's bothering me about it. This is humor that comes from a person who doesn't drink.
Yeah. I feel like this is a little too inside baseball. Like, this is by one person just writing this to his, like, redneck brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Like, just about his redneck brother-in-law, like, Gary.
Every tip should just end in comma, Gary.
Or on the flip side, it's some retired professor whose email chain thinks he's so hilarious.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm sensing the tweed off this.
Yeah.
So what other sections you got?
You got oh man,
that's a good question.
So much.
You got the thorax. You got the.
We've got an entire section that. Like,
what other parts
on,
between the pages?
How to get kicked off of dating websites?
Okay.
Like which ones? What they do accept? What the lines are to be crossed? That's by Phil Keeling. He's a guest writer. He's also a sad bastard. Which is nice, you know, when he's around. We've also got an advice column from that's actually written by women called "Why Won't You Hook Up With Me?" And then they tell me why they won't hook up with me.
Uh-huh. Who did you interview for that?
Yeah.
One?
Oh, just women that I said bad things, you know, like just approach them. You know, one of them told me I own more Hellboy books than like actual books. And what was the other one? One of them said I just look like the guy from Garfield. That hurt a lot. Yeah, and then you can't come back and be like, well, maybe wait till you see my orange pussy. That doesn't help.
Uh-huh.
Like, nah. Just so much. It's a rich, rich guide. That's all. You know what I mean? It's so rich that I'm going to use the word why I'm going to use it nicely. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's nicely rich with content.
Yeah, there's letters to the editor.
So many sections.
The editor responds to letters.
Oh.
And it's great. That's, yeah, you know, like outreach, we consider that outreach.
That's really old-fashioned and sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So where can people acquire this square full of words?
As of...
Rectangle, I guess.
As of November 20th, which is next month, it's coming right up. It will be available at devastatorpress.com. And we will have paper and print.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, those are the same things. I've been drinking a little bit. So we're going to have digital and print versions. They told me to say the and part, stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and it'll be nuts. And in the meantime, sorry, I forgot. I got to do a quickie plug. There's the last issue of the regular Devastator magazine, and I've got a piece in that with our space issue, and that's going to be really cool. It just like is a send-up of all kinds of space things, from Xenomorph to fucking waking up from cryo sleep early. So you can eat the Cheez-Its before your crewmates. It's amazing.
Uh-huh. So the space, that's like the part of the Earth that's the part of the air that's not on the Earth?
It's the away part.
It's the candy coating, like, of Earth. Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, when you eat the candy, there's the outside.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. It's the candy, and then, like, the stars are like sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that in a book.
Oh.
And now and it's so good. And then it's a lot of movie stuff. There's a great flip book about, like, the Star Wars expanded universe, like, the really expanded universe, like, all the stuff that's really, 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 really didn't need to happen. And that's by Asterios Kokonos. He's a great, great writer. And I'm not going to call Asterios a sad bastard. He's about the happiest.
Like the time that Han Solo was trying to make Chewie laugh by deep throwing that banana, but then he hit his gag reflex.
Yeah.
While they're in the ship. They're in the ship thing that goes fast.
Because what?
The ship. That's where they hang out.
Oh, okay.
In the fast ship.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's got everything from like alternative names for Return of the Jedi. You know what I mean? Like Attack of the Jedi, The Deadliest Jedi, Jedi Slaughterhouse, the movie, Help a Jedi Cut My Head Off, Heil Hitler Jedi, All Jedi Are Inherently Evil, Knock Knock, Who's There, Jedi Who, Jed, Die, Stab Baby with a Lightsaber.
Uh-huh.
That one? Yeah. We got just like other...
I didn't hear that.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
He probably just ran out of material.
I think I ran out of. Never mind. I was like, that would be funny. If I ran out of dollar credits on Skype, that'd be perfect. Should I call him again just to make sure?
Here's the thing. I fucking love space.
Yeah. I do too.
I fucking love science.
No.
What?
No. Science is bad.
Hello?
I love it though.
Hey, was that part of the bit where you hung up on accident or on purpose?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I thought you.
I'm sorry. I thought it was. I just wanted to make sure.
That's in the book.
Okay.
That's part of it. Is you just black out.
Way like to make him explain his joke.
And you're fucking gone.
That makes it less funny.
Do you even know who this is?
I don't know. I think Vince having to apologize for having made someone explain their joke is almost as funny as the joke. You should just apologize to everyone for ruining all their fun.
Apologize now, Vince.
Yeah, do it now.
Apologize.
I'm sorry I ruined your fun. Sad bastard. Devastator Press. Devastator Quarterly. Fucking devastatorpress.com. Did I get that right?
Yeah, devastatorpress.com. Yes.
Lee Keeler, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I love Frogcast. I love Boom Drunk.
We're all doing it for the fans. Just for
the
fans. We're just doing it for the fans.
All right.
That's who.
All right. Are they kids? Do you do it for the kids and the soldiers?
No, man, that's sick.
Yeah, yeah. Yuck.
Kid soldiers. Tiny soldiers. I miss you, Vince.
I miss you, too.
All right. I'll see you soon.
Bye.
All right, peace. Bye.
Invisible children soldiers.
Oh, man. Can you imagine invisible child soldiers?
Invisible children soldiers.
You'd be invincible.
Yeah, they're so small you can fit through like the little doors.
But if they're...
Those little half doors.
And you wouldn't see the curtains ruffle because they're so small and invisible.
Yeah.
Before the modern man heads off to bed...
Oh, damn it.
Stop it.
One more. Having a daughter makes the modern man more of a complete person. He learns new stuff every day.
This is, it's real inside baseball. This is just like some guy.
Joke, right? But I don't think he knows whether it's a joke or not.
I think he think, I don't, this is, I don't, do I have to Hannibal Lecter this shit? Do I have to go inside of his fucking creepy ass head?
How deep do the doves die, modern man?
I miss Brendan's impressions.
Pigeons?
Sheep. Sheep were sad.
There was like...
Because they're in the farm.
Certain of them are deep divers.
What?
It was the doves, right? Where he's talking about the doves.
Sheep are the ones that fly.
That's false.
When Doves Die is the title of Brett's Prince album.
Sad Berry Beret.
Computer Blue.
I'm going to get another beer.
Okay. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, I had that beer.
Yeah, you did have that beer.
Yeah, it's in my hand now.
Had it real good. So, all right. I did kind of want to talk about Playboy dropping nudity from their magazine. Mm. I know this hashtag content is disagreeable to you because I don't like the way you're looking at me right now.
Hashtag sponsored content. This segment is brought to you by FanDuel.
But I just feel like, isn't it weird the way that, supposedly like everybody's watching porn, everybody's like open about watching porn, but at the same time, like the work filter has sort of deep puritanized all of our content a little bit. Like basically the Playboy's dropping nudity because they don't want to get, banned from Instagram, Twitter, people's work filters. Like they took nudity off their website so they could get more
work filter.
So it's, I don't know, it's it feels weird that
FanDuel took away your nudes. Sponsored by FanDuel.
Well, here's what's happening with this. I spent the entire bus ride over here trying to think of some way to make salamander sound like sex, because it's like tasteful newts.
Uh-huh.
But okay. Like I got like salacious is kind of like salamander, but I don't really know. Brendan, what do you got? What's like another amphibian that's tasteful?
Frog? The ixquatl? What are those Mexican things called?
Oh, yeah, with the gills. Little funny gills? Little mud puppies?
Yeah.
A platypussy.
So you're saying you have no opinion about it? I mean, like, I don't...
No, I mean, my opinion is that I wish I could find a way to, like, cram salamander into this conversation
times. That's true of everything.
Not an actual salamander.
Well, that's why they're getting rid of nudes, because you're one click away from literally finding someone cramming a salamander.
Yeah.
These days.
They like that, though. They need the water. Their skin needs to be wet, or they'll dry out, and their mind powers don't work anymore.
Mm-hmm. But that's sort of assuming that those two things are competing. That like I'm not I don't I feel like
I actually agree I agree
I,
with you
I feel like are you saying this to placate me?
It was an awkward transition from joke to earnest.
Okay, because I mean like the idea that someone's reading Playboy to jack off, or that someone's looking at the nudes in Playboy to jack off, obviously that's not happening, and I don't really think like a picture of a naked woman is competing with, you know, someone fucking dealing herself with
quad
a salamander.
Anal for four things in the butt.
But it's like one of the few areas where at least someone was actually trying to combine nudity with smart content, or like, you know, like something that's intellectually stimulating. And like, I don't think Playboy did it like perfectly. Like, I don't, but it's just weird that they're like, if they said we're canceling pictorials, that'd be one thing. But they're like, oh no, we're still going to do, it's basically going to be Maxim now.
Oh. That's a sad way to go for anything.
So it's basically, like, I like the idea that there was still something out there where, yes, it has nudity and there's also like an article that treats you as an adult at the same time. Like the idea that you can jack your wiener off and also want to laugh and be entertained by something smart and like think about politics. Like it's kind of weird that that's going away to me.
I was going to bust your balls because you're like the only human being left on the planet that's like doing the bathroom read. with the Playboy. Like you got a stack of them in there. But like, honestly, I agree with you. It's sad to see a hybrid go like that. And it's like European commercials with the boobs. I like them. And I like to watch European TV because it's like there are some boobs and that's kind of titillating, but it's not like you're going to fucking crank your hog to a fucking movie promo with some titties in it.
Right. It's just like I'm not.
But you still appreciate it when you see it.
I like it's like I feel a little tingle in my loins. But
like, I'm not defending, like, I don't want to defend it as like some high-minded thing, no, but
I like to
but
see
we're,
some boobs.
We're denormalizing nudity, and I feel like we're back to stigmatizing sex in a weird way.
I don't think
that's good for anybody.
I don't buy their whole, like, oh, porn has made this thing, blah, blah, blah. Like, because, again, like, yeah, that's not, they're not even playing the same game as that shit.
No.
I don't think they spent their entire time saying that they weren't that. Why would they then cave and be like, right. Oh, actually,
it's like a weird tacit admission that they were pornography, and where I was like, I thought you weren't pornography, and that was the whole fucking point. Like, it was sort of,
I don't know. I think there's other shit going on. I mean, magazine, who the fuck buys magazines?
Well, I don't blame Playboy. I blame the market. Like I said, the work field. Basically, this is all a function of our employers not treating anyone like adults. Like, when I write an article, I have to write F'CK because I don't want somebody instead of fuck.
Oh,
so that somebody's work filter doesn't block me. Because God forbid Dave sees a cuss word, he can't be a lawyer anymore. Like what? what are we?
Yeah.
Like what are we doing? So the end of this article was, don't get me wrong, Mr. Jones said of the decision to dispense with nudity. 12-year-old me is very disappointed in current me, but it's the right thing to do. And I kind of feel like.
It's backwards.
No, you got that like backwards. Now we're back to treating each other like 12-year-olds. This isn't like a. Like I feel like the 12-year-old thing like, to do would be like, oh man, boobs.
Yeah, shoving like, I don't know, deferring to porn as your source of nudity is terrifying. Because if you've seen porn now, I don't think you want to normalize. I don't know. I think the idea of porn should be normalized, but like you don't want that to also correspond with your idea of nudity. Like if the clothes come off, someone's going to vomit.
Right. Yeah, like you're like I said, you're denormalizing.
You're pushing extremes. There was a nice middle ground and now it's like, well, are you going to puke cum or are you just going to be like no skin?
But they're basically saying nipples are a gateway to puke coming.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like just sometimes you just want to smoke a doobie and not do the hard drugs.
Mm-hmm. And what, like, where is the, I mean, who is the, where is this coming from? Because Instagram doesn't allow nipples. Twitter is actually fairly sex, okay with. But Facebook is definitely no nipples. Like, what is the, and why is that? Are they trying to, is that something where they can't get into certain countries?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I only use Twitter. I like Twitter
a lot. There's some like macro market force that's forcing
this. Yeah.
Like, and everybody sort of has to go along
with
this macro market force. Yeah,
there's some PowerPoint out there that actually explains what's going on. And they're
macro
like,
market force! Taking away your boobs today. Coors Light ain't actually cold.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but and it's not a conspiracy, but there is, like, there is just a few things holding this all
story
back.
The story is bullshit, and it's like, what's, like, the easiest way to explain this? Like, there's some financial reason that this didn't work out, and it's probably because it's a fucking magazine.
Well, okay, here's the quote that it basically explains it. In August of last year, the website dispensed with nudity. As a result, a Playboy executive said, the average age of its reader dropped from 47 to just over 30, and its web traffic jumped to about 16 million from about 4 million unique users per month. The magazine will adopt a cleaner, more modern style. There will still be a Playmate of the Month, but the sections will be PG-13 and less produced, more like racier sections of Instagram.
That's sad to say. Somebody had to do that through gritted teeth.
Yeah.
Like somebody who's been in the magazine industry for a long time had to be like, it's going to be like, we printed out pictures from Instagram on their trees.
Its sex columnist, Mr. Jones said, will be a sex positive female writing enthusiastically about sex.
God, meanwhile, shitty job description.
And Playboy will continue its tradition of investigative journalism, in-depth interviews, and fiction. The target audience, Mr. Flanders said, is young men who live in cities. This is the, here's my favorite, the cunty quote. The difference between us and Vice, he said, is that we're going after the guy with the job.
It's all just so sad.
Yeah.
It's all very
But doesn't
corporate.
It feels like there's a backslide and as far as like sexual revolution goes. I think there was like a certain normalization of nudity that happened, and then there was like a semi-normalization of porn, but now we're in this weird stage where we accept that it exists, but it's very you're forced to compartmentalize everything.
Yeah,
where it's like you can't be the same guy who's looking at tits when you're reading an investigative piece of journalism.
Yes. Yeah,
like you're not allowed to.
Capitalism wants you to switch modes as fast as it can. Like if you had to be a different person for every moment that you quantify being a person, it would love that because that's an entirely different set of things to sell you. So like you as a porn watcher has to be different than you as an office worker.
So you can be targeted
because those are two different targets.
Right,
and that means two different things to sell you, and so. If you can condense the span of identification that you experience. So like, okay, you're an office worker, but now you're an office worker getting in from the morning. And now you're an office worker going out for lunch with your buddies. Mm-hmm. And you have a brief moment on the shitter where you're back in that point.
Now you're a modern man on the shitter.
Yeah. All those delightful new ways to sell you things.
All right. I think you solved it a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be the nostalgic guy. I'd be like, oh man, I remember when I was jacking off to Playboy when I was blah, blah, blah. I'm not really nostalgic for that, but it does disappoint me that there's one more thing where we can't combine aspects of our humanity.
Yeah, I am not a fan of specialization. I don't think that we should all have like one role that we do, and I don't want Playboy to like be really good at being middle of the road. I'd rather have it actually be kind of good at a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
You like know, being, you know, being you know, a specialist in mediocrity is the worst thing that you can be.
Well, you know what you turn into when you get too specialized?
What?
Todd Maffin.
Oh.
But I love... He's just one thing.
I'm not being being ironic when I say I love Todd Maffin.
Yeah.
I genuinely would hug his like as a server. Is it like a where those like a
he's
warehouse?
Just a stack of server just, farms with a wig on.
Just hugging him. Just <fan.
laughs> Oh, his red light blinked. I think that means he likes you.
Yeah.
Oh, Brendan's gonna enjoy this. I got a real sports clip.
Nice.
Good old Brian Gumbel asking the hard questions.
Here we go.
My favorite thing about Brian Gumbel is he sort of asks obvious questions and then he like makes fun of the answers to it. Like him and Bernie both do that thing where you gotta ask like the question. They figure out who the dumbest person watching is and they're like, what does this guy want me to ask?
Yeah.
And this is both Bryant and Bernie in the same story. So you know this is gonna be good.
Quote is 100% behind Roger Goodell.
Oh, so this was about, it was from a profile of Jerry Jones, and they're talking about who's the dude that beat up his wife.
Greg Hardy.
Greg Hardy, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's about, you know, them signing Greg Hardy.
How did he keep a straight face when he claimed that signing Greg Hardy, we really did our homework? This is an interesting question. There's one school of thought, Jerry's, that says, and please don't start laughing in the middle of this answer, that you do give somebody a second chance and okay. The other school of thought is he wants to...
He is laughing because he's Joe Sports fan. He's trying to be the stand-in.
You can't pull this over on me.
I watch too much sports.
Win another Super Bowl.
Duh.
And
duh.
And he's going to do what he has to do.
We really did our homework. Say it again. Oh, yeah. All right, buddy. Thank you.
He dud him three times.
Wow. That's,
I don't know if you guys caught that, but
I like the they're like dad woke.
yeah, exactly. They're like
you can't get that one over on me, Jerry.
Yeah, they're like dad woke, but
that's a good. I like that.
Yeah.
It's annoying because the NFL, this is entirely the NFL's own making, because they try to paint themselves, which, like, I don't think anyone watches the NFL because they're like, you know why I like the NFL? I like the NFL because they're wholesome and the moral arbiter of what's great about America. Yeah. It's like, it's almost like this persona that's wholly created by sports writers and not by, like, the average fan. I feel like we could probably make fun of your average fan, but, like, none of them are like, the thing I like about the NFL is that they always do the right thing, and all those first letters are capitalized. But then, like, the NFL has painted itself into this corner where then it's like Greg Hardy gets another job, and everyone's like, well, what happened to this whole doing the right thing bullshit? Whereas if they were just totally transparent from the beginning, where they're like, hey, here's the thing. When people are, like, really good at something and they're, like, one of the best five people in the world at doing it, like, sometimes they get a better, they get a second chance. Like, that's sort of life. And that's kind of what happens, is that fucked up people who are really good at a certain thing will often get extra opportunities to do that thing. And
also, like, if some guy's really good at flying fighter planes, I don't really give a shit if he, like, tortures his dog or whatever. Like, yeah, he should go to jail. But if he's not in jail, I want him flying the fucking fighter plane.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, like, I get that.
Because otherwise he'd be torturing dogs.
Right. But like, so the same thing, it's kind of the same thing with the domestic violence thing, where it's like, we're trying to get the NFL to pick up the slack where the law enforcement's failing, where, like, that's not really what they do. Like, we want to watch the people crash into each other. Like, we don't really
care. And sometimes
maybe,
but the NFL thinks it is, because that's exactly what the NFL said after the Ray Rice thing.
They think we want to see role models.
Our problem here is that we didn't have enough rules and we didn't have enough policies in place. Mm-hmm. And if we had created our own sort of kangaroo court legal system, then maybe this whole Ray Rice thing wouldn't have happened.
I'd like to see regular citizens tried in the court of Goodell. Like, like, you just, you do something wrong, like traffic violation or something, and you have to go through the NFL legal system. It's like,
well, actually, I can test this ticket. Oh, okay, well, we appreciate you contesting it. I'll make sure that your appeals process goes through. So the appeals process will happen in my office tomorrow, and I will be the one judging the appeal.
Yeah.
That's kind of how parking tickets work.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Well,
whoa.
Whoa.
Like,
dad woke.
I'm the one who's dad woke now.
But, I mean, all right, so, like, I get when people want to yell at the Cowboys for signing a domestic abuser, but I also feel like that is based on a bit of specious reasoning, where, like, somehow we assume that this guy would like, he would get fired from his job and that would make him less likely to
also
abuse women.
If you hated if you hated him, why wouldn't you want him to stay in the NFL, where he's totally going to end up with dementia?
Right.
Like, that's it's a terrible fate.
I think we're still treating it like it's high school, where it's like, oh, he didn't get a 2.0, so he doesn't get to play. And it's, I don't know that it's that. I don't know that. I feel like if someone that's
You're going from the opposite end. It's just as goofy. Like, it's all about selling human beings.
Sure.
And, like, you can't be like, oh, well, I don't know if we should moralize. It's like, people are going to boycott shit they don't like for dumb reasons. That's just, like, part of the game. Like, you know?
Yeah, but I can't. Well, okay.
Yeah.
But I just.
You can't.
He's got. So this guy's.
There is
this
no
guy's
separation.
Got one thing that he does well.
Yes.
And it's play football.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the way that he contributes to the system, isn't it? Like, I don't feel like that is a privilege. Like, we're not, like, letting a bad person play football because we support what that person
also,
does.
Also, it's like Death Race.
If someone
someone,
you know, is a professional data entry specialist, and then they
also very
up,
much like Death
they
Race,
pick up their girlfriend and throw her down on a futon with assault rifles, and then that person is not convicted. Then they go back. They tend to go back to their job.
Yeah,
as the data entry specialist. And so I guess, like, I'm realizing now that I don't want to come down on the side of the people who are like, what's the big deal? Like, she
yeah,
probably
like it's
had
a big,
coming.
It's
like,
a big deal, but why is that the NFL's deal?
Exactly. Like, I want the NFL to kind of exist morally outside of that, because there's enough people who are smart enough to pass their own judgment and decide to support or not support that person. Like, I don't know. But at the same time, it's funny. It's kind of like one of those things where you find yourself arguing a point, and then you're like, all the people who are nodding right now are like people that I would never want anything to do with in my entire life.
I found myself on the wrong side of my own argument.
I've got a bunch of Cowboys fans like,
Toronto. Yeah. Bitch had it coming. Yeah. Go Boys. Woo. And I'm like, no. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, but it's weird the way the NFL tries to be this thing that it's not.
Right. Like, I think we should be yelling at whatever court and police jurisdiction dropped that case. Like,
way more scary that the NFL thinks it's a moral arbiter than that we have failed to put these people in jail. The fact that, like, this monolithic corporation is just like, oh, also, we're manufacturing heroes now. Yeah. Who do you want your sons to grow up to be? Any one of our employees? Like, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
In anything, sports or, like, I don't know, what else is there? Who are the heroes other than sports figures? Fucking
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Fighter planes? The drones. F-22 Raptor.
Pistol drone.
Pistol drone.
Every boy wants to grow up to be pistol drone.
Fuck. Fuck.
Fred loves pistol drone so much.
It's just perfect. It's just the encapsulation of our time.
I'm realizing I felt like I was edging dangerously close to hot take territory. Mm-hmm. No, but Greg Hardy's a piece of shit.
I agree with you. Like, I think he's, and there's a lot, because I always talk about this with MMA. Like, there was a whole, like, horrible real sports segment on MMA where basically it was like, oh, MMA, like, causes domestic violence. And you're like, not
they
really.
They would have been domestic violencing if they, regardless. Like, it makes them stronger.
There's like this fucked up dude from wherever, the wrong side of the tracks.
It's
always Stockton. Yeah. He's got, like, nothing
War
going
Machine
for him.
Would have been a fucking whatever.
Like, I'm not saying
you can't even picture him grown up to be a 9/11 responder.
Like, I'm not saying that guy getting kicked in the head and necessarily, like, helped him be a better person, but I don't know what he would have been doing otherwise.
You don't want it to be your only option. Like, you don't want the fucking Coliseum to be your only choice in life, where it's like, holy shit, I'm going to be eaten by wolves out here as I starve, or I can go and fight other men to the death.
The Coliseum is not in the business of law enforcement. That's just a venue for fuck-ups to punch each other.
Yes, you should absolutely not have your legal system have any overlap with the people, like, thumbing other people's eyes out.
Yeah, like, if you want to talk about the legal system, hey, I'm with you, but I don't know why you're expecting the Coliseum to step in and walk your kid across the street, because that's not what it's for.
Yes. Yeah, it's to keep us passive while the senators? Overlap with like the Caesar reintroduced
The Jews. They got their hand in your pocket. The Coliseum keeps you distracted than the Jews. They sneak in, get their hand in your pocket. Next thing you know, you got no more doubloons.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a pirate gold.
You're all out of the shiny circles that you use to trade for things. Damn it. So I saw the Steve Jobs movie.
Wow. You were fucking suffering for your art, my friend. Was it good?
Here's the thing. Aaron Sorkin's really good at writing dialogue that's like, look, it crackles.
Yeah.
There's a cadence to it. It's not hard to watch. It's very entertaining.
I thought Social Network was great.
I did too, but part of the reason that I think Social Network is great is that it sort of forgave itself for being bullshit, because they made it like a retroactive dream sequence.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh yeah, it may not have happened that way. That's just how. So like that was.
Also, Reznor was figuring out the soundtrack thing, so he was like, oh, I'll just make a fucking Nine Inch Nails fucking CD.
Wait, did I read it wrong where it's really like three big scenes and that's like the movie?
The Jobs?
Yeah, sort of. So it's like everything happens backstage at his product launches for the first one is for the whatever it was, the 1984, the Macintosh. That's the original Macintosh.
Macintosh, iMac, iPhone.
Yeah, and then the next one's like the next machine.
Oh,
and then the
when
the
he was exiled.
One, yeah, and then the last one is the new iMac or the iMac. But yeah, and so there's all this drama that. It all goes back to fucking daddy issues, of course. Like, the thing is, like, when you see an Aaron Sorkin movie, you're like, yes, it's going to be entertaining, but what the fuck is it going to be about? It's going to be about the same shit that it's always about, which is some guy's an asshole, but he's allowed to be an asshole because he's, like, so good. Because I secretly think that's what Aaron Sorkin thinks about himself.
He's not transparent. Like, that shit trickles down, and you're just like, what is this dripping on me? Oh, yeah. It's his fucking pathos is, like, oozing out of the screen and onto me.
Right. So the part that's actually about Apple is pretty good, but then there's just so much just Sorkin like slickness to it where you're like, there's you know, there's 60% content and 40% like slick Sorkin goo that's, you know, sort of watering this whole thing down.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to play a little bit of the Sorkinisms.
I like Fassbender a lot, though.
About five different people are claiming they wrote a screenplay I wrote last year.
Did they?
No. And you know how you know? Because if they'd written it, they'd have written it.
If you guys were the inventors of Facebook, you'd have invented Facebook.
That's like his most obnoxious tick as a screenwriter. So he does the same thing in Steve Jobs, where Steve Jobs is arguing with Steve Wozniak, and Wozniak is like, you know, you're treating me like Ringo when I was there and I know I'm John. And Steve Jobs is like, you know, the thing about John is like he didn't hold a rally, or he didn't hold like there wasn't a contest to see who got voted John. He was John because he was John.
Yeah.
Like you there's think? A weird, yeah, there's like a reductive, like, aren't you an idiot for not getting this?
Also, he seems when he writes to be very much like he knows he's clever and he just has to repeat it until you agree with him.
Right.
That's and that's exactly carried over it. Through his whole career where he's just like, I know I'm repeating myself. It's obvious that I'm repeating myself. It's that you're not getting the joke.
Right. Yeah. There was another moment where he brings up, like apropos of nothing, Steve Jobs is like, you know, when Stravinsky like came out with blah, 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 blah,
the Black
Album, blah, 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 blah. And the woman's like, Steve, I'm not here to talk about symphonies right now. He's like, actually it's an opera, but blah, blah, blah. Like it's just a perfect encapsulation of Aaron Sorkin having to bring up some obscure fact that he knows and also like correct you on it, even though you didn't care in the fucking first place.
He must be hard to talk to because you could probably see in his eyes that he's waiting for you to fuck up on something that he's baited you with. You know, like, yeah. he's probably got like the little pouch full of things that he knows about that most people don't, and he's casually dropping them in there to see if you'll trip over one. I would love to talk to Sorkin and just be totally disinterested in everything he said. I think that would kill him.
So this is Wozniak talking about the movie, and I think this is why people like the movie. Like it just feels, he writes things that feel like a movie. Like this feels like a movie. Like, man, this is the moviest fucking movie that I've ever seen. This is Wozniak. The movie was just top-notch professional, Wozniak said. The script, the words they said, how well the actors played it, and the cinematography, following them along through the halls.
Several cameras, all pointing at people that were talking.
They were coffee seat with popcorn.
I wasn't familiar with Aaron Sorkin's work because I don't watch television. So this was the first time I saw it. Unbelievable to me. If Steve Jobs were making movies as his product, this is the quality he would have had. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's not unfair.
Yeah, I know. And it's, yeah. It's like, he's just such an asshole that I can't.
I've started to feel bad for him. I've circled back around where he seems just so sad.
Sorkin?
Yeah.
And you just think?
Yeah, and
you think?
You think?
I just don't think there's anyone else whose inherent like smug assholitude comes through his characters so strongly.
I think he's bad. I don't feel super bad about ragging on him because I think he's got some toxic shit going on, and like letting him be as good at his job as he is kind of like, oh well, that's creeping out into the general psyche. But yeah, he seems like he's probably not a happy dude.
And there's a weird thing where like I want to criticize him for turning everything that he writes into something about him, but like when you like the person, that's okay. Like Charlie Kaufman does that, and like, fuck yeah, Charlie Kaufman, make this all about you. I don't give a fuck about flowers.
What's going on in your diary right now, Chuck? Lay it on us, buddy. But
Aaron Sorkin, he just like, there's something about him where he just seems like he wants to dad lecture you all the time.
Yeah,
there's one line in there where
he's just like, fucking interrupting your conversation at the bar. Like,
yeah,
just like, oh, hey, exactly. Actually, that's one. One,
he's the Kool-Aid man busting through the brick wall. Actually,
there's the one scene,
and he's drinking a very fancy cocktail that only he knows the name to because he made it up himself.
Yeah, it's based on Stravinsky. You haven't heard Shakespeare the way it was meant to be read. There's one moment where they're backstage and he's telling the guy, he's like, you had 3 weeks to get this done. The universe was created in a third of that time. And then the guy's like, yeah, and maybe someday you'll tell us how you did it, Steve. And you're just like that's such a perfect, like that's the thing that your dad would write and think it's super clever, and you know he's written that in like three other scripts, like Garen fucking Teed.
Yeah.
He has just these pet exchanges that he's that he's got to get out.
Because I think they play over and over in his head.
Yeah.
I think this is like, he's got the stairwell thing, you know?
Is it Esprit d'Escalier?
Yeah.
That's just, I knew Brendan would know. Yeah. Brendan's like French as fuck.
Well, that's I learned about that from Guts by Palahniuk.
Yeah.
They talk about it in Guts.
Would not know how to trace where I learned about that. Not like Brendan.
Hour of prime time every night, and I will rededicate my life to ruining yours.
I will rededicate the rest of my life to ruining the rest of yours.
There's no script. There's nothing on the prompter.
Nothing on the prompter is where this man eats.
Up there is where this president eats.
They're not waiters in a restaurant. You can't tell them what you'd like and how you'd like it prepared.
We're not waiters in a restaurant serving you the stories you asked for just the way you like them prepared.
I think he can't get this stuff out of his head. I think he knows that he's doing this. It's not like an oversight and he's a hack. I think that this literally repeats nonstop in his head and that it's slowly driving him insane.
Tell me I'm clever.
Is the newsroom still going?
Yes.
No, it's done.
Oh, I wanted to play you guys my favorite.
It's done.
Is it?
I think it's done.
I never watched it, but I loved, I didn't love it enough to hate watch it, but I loved hearing Vince's stories about hate watching it.
I got the perfect clip that encapsulates everything that Aaron Sorkin and the newsroom is. I queued this up just for you guys.
I'm going to hold you to an answer on that.
Oh, don't.
What makes America the greatest country in the world?
We don't need to do this again.
We got to.
No.
Well, Lewis and Sharon said it. Diversity and opportunity and freedom and freedom.
He's going to speak truth to power.
I'm not letting you go back to the airport without answering the question.
He's going to give America a straight talk.
Well, our Constitution is a masterpiece. James Madison was a genius. The Declaration of Independence is, for me, the single greatest piece of American writing. You don't look satisfied. One's a set of laws and the other's a declaration of war. I want a human moment from you.
Oh, man, they cornered him. Now he's going to give him the truth, the hard truth with a capital T.
Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
Tumescent truth.
Engorged truth.
You're saying...
Yes.
Let's talk about...
Fine.
Sharon, the NEA...
I like how everybody's super shocked at this harsh truth that he's giving them.
The newsroom is actively bad. The newsroom made me feel good about being mean to Sorkin. Because that shit, like that retroactive... Like, we were right, but no one listened. Like, after you know how that shit played out... poisons future decisions. Like you can't.
It retroactively ruined things that I used to enjoy that he had done.
No. I mean, even like if you have the comfort of falling back on retelling the story, you don't have to make the right call when you don't know all the facts. And he's doing that. He's like, we were right on all of these calls, and here's the proof. A thing I fucking made up.
Yeah.
Which is just fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
It's beautiful though.
It's bad.
Yeah. All right. I won't make you listen to the whole thing.
I've heard it before.
I mean, I think it's important.
It is. We should have to learn from this.
As a loser, yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so goddamn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're gonna tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is...
He likes the casual misogyny.
I'm not in the media, so this is probably a trite Aaron Sorkin takedown. Hashtag Twitter beef. But he's like the king of the straw man. Like,
right.
Who in 2013 or whenever this came out is really being like, America's this bastion of freedom. Like,
yeah, No, yeah, the, yeah. he's speaking truth to a straw man.
He's kind of dad woke.
Oh, he's dad woke.
He's kind of dad woke.
He's also does this thing where like he hates, you know, blogging and the web, but he writes dialogue like a blogger, like Star Spangled Awesome and So Fucking Always. Like those are, that's exactly the kind of writing you would find on BuzzFeed. Like guaranteed.
Oh, holy shit. I saw Avengers too. And it was the worst thing I've seen in a long time. Oh,
okay.
Just that was what reminded me is those like the trite sort of like, it felt very script comedy, like everyone's fucking telling jokes to the audience.
Yeah.
And then just sitting there waiting. Whereas the
waiting
first
for
one,
the camera to move.
The first one felt a little bit like the characters were joking with each other. This one is all very much like stop, turn, address,
elaborate, and listen.
Yeah.
So I watched the first Avengers and asked me if I liked it or not.
Uh oh.
Did you like the first Avengers?
Yes.
As did I. I thought it was pretty good.
Me too. First 20 minutes, kind of shitty, but after that, fucking picked the fuck up.
I could not tell you a single fucking thing that happened in that movie.
The like, Avengers
you know what happened?
I know that
you
I liked it.
You know what happened? The Hulk picked up Loki and he slammed him on the ground a couple times. That
I don't
was
even
fun.
Remember that.
Here's the only thing.
Really?
Here's the only thing I recall.
You remembered where you read Esprit de Escalier.
It's true. He's got a point there.
Yeah.
You can't stop it. You're like programmed
for that. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's fucked up, man.
It's unmemorable.
The only thing I remember from Avengers 2.
Either that or I caused myself so much brain damage playing football that I'm like the guy from Memento.
But like the things to lose on the list, Avengers is pretty high up there. Like if you're going to have something to
Esprit de Escalier.
Keep that one around.
Esprit de Avenger.
Yeah.
That's where you get the spirit of the movie that you don't give a fuck about.
Ghost of the Avengers. It does not haunt me.
I would watch a Ghost of the Avengers movie. That shit would be tight. The only thing I remembered was Hawkeye has a fucking secret family. That's the only thing I pulled from that fucking movie.
Post-credit sequence. I'm from another comic.
They were so out of breath. Like, they had, like, four MacGuffins in there. Like, no one had a chance to even figure out what the fuck was going on. They're just like, here's the next thing. And, like, I don't know.
I thought Ultron had potential, but they did nothing with it because
they
were busy.
Ultron the robot?
Yeah, they were busy trying to introduce fucking Bucky, whatever his name is, Captain America's dead buddy. Or was that Captain America 2? I can't even, I get the two confused now.
Bucky was his sidekick.
Right.
Yeah, but he's got a robot arm.
And he's bad now. He's going to be bad.
Yeah, but he's going to be good.
But didn't the original storyline was that Cap sort of, sort of threw him into enemy fire when he was trying to kill Hitler.
That's rad.
If I remember that correctly.
Take this boy.
Or Bucky sort of, Bucky willingly sacrificed himself.
I don't know. It's bad. And I think I've been waiting for the moment where I don't rent Marvel movies anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm like kind of excited to say, I think I might be there.
If you think that's bad, wait till you see Ant-Man.
I'm not going to. That's the beauty of it. Yeah. I don't have to care anymore.
If you're talking about like strained attempts at humor, holy shit, you gotta see Ant-Man.
The Captain America 2, I was like, I don't like this.
Everybody
and then Guardians of the Galaxy was like okay,
I
but kind
of
boring. I didn't like it, but
but everybody liked Captain America 2.
Because everyone's kind of dumb.
The first Captain America was not good. No. I did not like it.
The first
it at
one's
all.
Better than the second. That's
really?
For sure. Yeah.
Oh, I hated it. I did like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. But like it was like better, but the same thing that they're doing now, and now they're just fucking doing that thing where it's just like, here's 14 fucking bullet points. We're gonna run through them. The robot has a sense of humor. There's another robot that's introduced later. The Hulk retires. Thor goes into a pool, and there's a Infinity Gauntlet.
I think it's just outline filming. Like when you write, if you try to write to an outline, your writing loses all sense of like organicness and like
the
surprise.
The outline is like a month's worth of comic books, and so there's nothing to fill in. It's just like A B C Roman numeral J.
Yeah. Hulk always told Hulk. Hulk would hang up tattered pants when Hulk no longer had passion for Smash. That's how I picture Hulk retiring. The press conference.
Can you do a lot of Hulk press conferences, please?
You wouldn't like me when I'm expositioning.
Yeah. Practice? You talk to Hulk about practice?
Hulk had momentary lapse in judgment. Hulk still love wife. But Hulk met attractive woman at bar, and Hulk.
Hulk mixed
smash.
Medicine. Hulk mixed medicine with alcohol. Hulk never try.
Hulk entering treatment facility.
I think the reason everyone likes this shit is because everyone's like really into fucking bullet points now. This is like the listicle of movies where it's just like, here's 17 GIFs.
Here's the top 10 cameos.
I could do the Avengers 2 in GIFs and it would be more interesting than the movie.
Yep.
Because it's just like, that's what they built it for. It's like, oh, he's got a bigger robot suit that punches Hulk. And then they're like, oh, cool. Because that's what they use for promos. So it's just like...
Yeah, it's an outline of trailer moments.
Yeah, and like a single line of text is like, oh, he fell from the airplane and now he has to fight him.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no evidence to support
stop it.
We do this every month.
All right. I won't.
You are his nemesis. You're doing the exact same thing he is, but like true. Your ex-wife is Aaron Sorkin.
My ex-wife.
What else you got?
Did we read this?
You got emails? Let's wrap it up, man. It's late.
Oh, we did the Beach Boys email, right?
I don't know.
The worst. The guy at the Beast Boys con. Yeah, we did that one. Another question. Hey, Frotsman, I'm currently in film school and I have feelings for one of the girls in my class. I've got no clue how to approach or what to say. I'm terrified of talking to her. If you guys can drop some profound life advice, that would be awesome. You guys may goof around a lot, but when you do answer these questions, you give the most honest and truthful advice. So I had to ask you first, and then he sent a follow-up. We like the same movies. I talk to her. She talks to me. I've hung out with her a few times, smoking weed, and the other typical college shit. I don't know how to tell if she likes me or not. I'm not the most confident individual, so this is rather difficult for me.
Want to see my spec script?
Gross.
That's
gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would say if you're hanging out there and smoking weed, that's a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I rely heavily on alcohol.
You made it sound like you don't even know how to like approach her, but you're already smoking. You're doing illegal drugs with her.
Yeah. Like, hey, you want to go out for a drink? Seems like pretty. I mean, you're already at that stage.
Yeah.
And then you go out for a drink. You have a few. Hopefully one of you makes a bad decision. If not, I don't know.
If there's no vibes, then it's...
Do you think this is a case of him not picking up on the vibes?
I don't know. Like, if he's asking for advice and he's already just hanging out smoking weed with her, like, maybe he's not picking up the vibes. Because, like, that's a pretty intimate situation. Like, if you're doing this on a regular basis and it's mostly just you and, like, close friends, then you're already kind of in a good spot to...
Yeah, it's hard to intuit whether someone is being like
creepy weirdo
if they don't know how obvious they're making it or if they don't know what obvious signs they're missing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Two very different answers.
Yeah.
Hard to tell without knowing the person.
I mean,
I would just, if she's initiating.
Yeah.
There's probably some interest there.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Right,
if you're hanging out smoking weed and your like faces are close together and she looks at your mouth ever, man, just fucking do a creepy lean in. It's time.
The one mistake you don't want to make.
Is that bad advice?
No. Do a slow lean.
The one mistake you don't want to make as a young person is don't be in the awkward thing where it's like, well, I don't want to make a move because I don't want to ruin it. But it's like you're in hell. You're in hell. You're like, I care so much about this girl. I like her so much. But I don't want to like ruin anything. It's like, well, that's no way to live, man. And if she's not into you back, then she should be mature enough to, and you both should be mature enough to say, hey, we're cool being friends, even though there's no mutual, you know, whatever. And if not, whatever.
I would say if you're hanging out together in a one-on-one situation where you're doing drugs and stuff and there's like, physical.
Yeah. You broke in the touch barrier.
Touch barrier. There's like physical proximity.
The dube.
And there's some,
you're putting each other's saliva in your mouth.
Yeah. I feel like you're looking at her face and you can kind of sense like, ooh, she doesn't want me near her face or she's like okay with it.
Yeah.
And if she's sort of, I mean, I feel like if there's some sort of chemistry there, you can go for the creepy lean in.
Yeah.
And look, here's my advice. Don't ever be ashamed of a failed lean in is not a bad thing. Do not ever let your own failed lean in shame you. Because you know what? Sometimes you misread the situation and that's fine.
Yeah.
Like the worst thing is if she goes with it, and then you're like, oh shit, now I feel bad.
And if she doesn't like you like that, she'll tell you.
Yeah.
And she's you know, not that cool of a person if that ruins it and she never wants to hang out with you again.
If
you
that rapey advice, I
she'll,
hope it
no, no, if she'll say, I don't like you like that. And then you just need to wear it and deal with it. And if that quote unquote ruins it and she never wants to hang out with you again, like, I don't know, that's kind of shitty.
It's but it's like it's had to happen at a certain point.
You need to make it awkward. You need to.
All I'm saying, once the tension is broken,
or like, maybe not a lean in, but you only, have to break the awkwardness.
The only reason I'm saying it's shitty is the reason that he's so awkward and nervous appears to me to be the fact that, well, if I do, you know, try to make a move and she's not into it, then it's going to ruin, you know, this friendship we have.
Right.
And my point is that if she isn't mature enough to say, no, no, I don't like you like that, I just want to hang out and smoke weed with you. If she's not mature enough to do that, then it's kind of like, it's not your fault.
You don't want that anyway.
But here's the flip side. If you make it awkward and it doesn't work, you lean in and she leans away, you need to fucking drop it.
Like, yeah.
You're done. You're done.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You don't get a fucking pine over her anymore. You move on to whatever else. Mm-hmm. Like, close that. You can be friends, but only if you're not fucking hanging around still lusting after her.
Right, yeah. If you drop it.
That's how she goes away, is that you don't get the hint.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you drop it if it doesn't work out. But I think every young heterosexual male has this... you have this horror fantasy in your mind that if a girl rejects you, she's going to be like fucking giggling with her friends about it, and you're going to be some kind of pariah, and everybody's going to be everybody's not going to be laughing at you. Like, no one, first of all, if anyone ever like shames you for going after a person you like fuck them. Like, that's what you should do. You should never feel bad about getting rejected, because that's just what happens to people, you know? And it's like, it's never going to be as embarrassing as you think it's going to be. And if you get rejected, at least in your mind, like, there is a weird triumph, because like, hey, at least you fucking tried. And then if it doesn't work out, you drop it.
The only way you're going to get made fun of is if you're a fucking creep about it.
Right.
Yeah. That's when you get made fun of.
Right. So. Like, the longer you string it out where they can kind of sense you want to do something, but you don't.
Yeah,
like,
you're up in the creep factor. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think the way to go is you got to try and make the move as early as possible.
You get one honest attempt.
Right. And then drop it forever.
One honest attempt. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you just got to let it go, man.
Yeah.
And that's okay, too, because lots of human beings out there, far too many. Like, you're going to meet so many people you hate.
Mm-hmm. Then you're going to rub your genitals on each other, and then one of you guys is going to be sticky, and then you got to give them the towel, and then you give you the towel back, but then the towel's sticky because of them.
It's not drying anything with that sticky towel.
No, it's gross.
Just getting everything sticky.
Got to wash it, but then you're worried about it getting on your other clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all bad. It's all bad. Look, just enjoy yourself now, because it's all hell after this.
It is a nightmare. Real bad.
You don't want Brett's life, man. No one wants that.
I used to be pretty.
All right. Well, you guys want to put this thing to bed? What do you think?
Yeah.
You got anything we didn't talk? Oh, Burnsy sent me a he sent me a screen cap saying, this guy stole my Amazon username, and he found a review from Vag Destroyer.
What was it a review of? Probably like batteries.
Highly recommended. Taking all three capsules pre-workout. LGD has a 24-hour half-life, so no need to spread out. My strength gains were phenomenal on this product, and absolutely no sides except on arm day. The pump was so big that I could barely move my arm.
The only side effect was too much pump.
Arm day.
Yeah, like, honestly.
Well, if you don't want your arms to get so big that you're fucking busting out your sleeves, don't do it.
Yeah,
it's not for you.
Can't handle that kind of pump, bro.
For you, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro.
4 stars. I look like a fucking giant Tyrannosaurus Rex, just a powerful animal. I wish that I weren't so beefed.
All right, guys. Brendan, you want to take us on out?
Yeah, thanks for listening once again. Thanks to our guest, Lee
Keeler. DevastatorPress.com.
Yeah.
The book is called Sad Bastard. There you go. Practical Wisdom for the Modern Asshole.
All right. Well, once again, thanks for listening. Email us anytime, frockcast@gmail.com. Vince, what's the Google Voice number?
It's 415-275-0030. A couple of people left voicemails this week, but you were kind of drunk or slurring or something. We couldn't tell. It was like it was a little bit halting, so I wasn't going to play that. But
practice it. Practice
it in the mirror and then call us back.
All right. Get your first game free at FanDuel using code 69 butt tits. That's three T's in a row. 69 butt tits.
And that's one butt cheek, and one tit upside down, and then the other butt cheek, and then the other tit upside down. It's not tits and butt both upside down. It's one and then one and then one and then one.
This guy's talking like he's never done a 69 butt tits before.
Everybody has.
FanDuel.com. All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening as always.
Hey, son. Nice dick.
Until next week, good night and good chins and nice dick.